medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Coalesce IS Support. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Houtcooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. So, for those listeners that may have missed it, Paul dropped a bit of a surprise nugget at the end of the episode last week. A little nugget. He said he was running his first marathon this past weekend. So, Paul, listeners want to know, how did it go?
It was a breeze. It was easy. Rounding error. Jeez. Bring on the ultras. Let's go. I mean.
Wow. Okay, then.
Said no first time marathon runner ever. Thank you very much. No, it was a challenge physically, mentally. Definitely up there as one of the hardest things that I've done, harder than even some of my black belt tests that I went through, and some of those wrecked me pretty good. But yeah, it was definitely hard, but it was also incredibly rewarding. I am very, very grateful to have done it and to have had my coach and my friend and my podcast partner along for the ride, helping me get to this point and get myself prepared mentally and physically to be able to do this, and then to be right there by my side on that journey. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better friend and a better partner to do this with. So thank you very much. So how was your experience?
It actually went surprisingly well. Obviously, our listeners probably heard me voice my concerns about said race and that I was just going to run it and have fun with it because, well, my training kind of blew up after I got COVID. I felt really good, actually, almost the entire time. And as of today, I mean, even my Garmin said my training readiness score this morning was like 91. So apparently it thinks I'm ready to train. I'm going to, you know, maybe not jump right back into that band.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not this week.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, watching you take on that race, we talked about the fact that, you know, you were actually considering a couple of weeks out whether or not you should actually defer. And, you know, I was disappointed to hear, but at the same time, I respected and I understood why. And so you weren't sure whether or not you wanted to toe the line. You weren't sure how your body was going to react. And yet you got out there, you took it a mile at a time. And here I am. I made it through all my training, right? I was actually able to keep my training up over the last couple months. I really didn't miss too much. You got knocked down with COVID and things got derailed, hence some of your concern. And yet we're out there and we hit mile 18, 19, 20, and the miles are starting to really wear on me, but they're not, like, you're getting lighter and I'm getting heavier, so to speak. That's what I saw. And I was kind of like, wait a second, this is reversed. This isn't supposed to go this way. Not that I was upset, not that I was bitter. No. But if anything, there was a lot of respect and admiration for seeing you push through and, you know, execute the way you did. I was just kind of blown away at what you pulled off. So nice work.
Thank you. I was pleasantly surprised. I kind of kept waiting, if you will, for the proverbial, this should really be hurting, you know, since it was like, you know, I'd only run 15 miles once since the beginning of September. I was like, this is going to be ugly. It's going to hurt. I figured anything after 15 was just going to be painful. But I honestly, when I stopped, I probably could have kept going. Other than I actually got a blister on my toe. And I've, believe it or not, in all the years of running, I have never gotten a blister. And it actually popped on me during the run. I'm like, that was like at about mile 24. I'm like, I refuse to be done with this race because I just popped a blister on my foot. I don't care if my foot is bleeding when I'm done. I'm finishing this dang thing.
Yep. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Got to push through. Can't let those things disrupt you. But yeah, other things that you remember about the run. I mean, this is my first marathon, so I don't have a barometer for the course, the venue, the crowd. There seemed to be quite a few spectators out there. I was really, really blown away by the level of support. I love all the signs, you know, power up signs, you know, everybody's fans of Super Mario because there were so many of those signs out there, you know, power up, power up, power up, and hit me and power up, and people giving high fives. It was really cool. It was really neat to see all the support and as excited as the crowd gets cheering everybody on.
It is super cool. In fact, this race is actually, I'd say, of the handful that I've done, it's my second favorite already because of the crowd support. Twin Cities Marathon is still my first. That route, there is crowd support the entire way. There's cheer zones. I mean, the Marine Corps Marathon had a few of those too, but Twin Cities is like none other. It is an amazing marathon. If those that are listening that are marathon runners, I do recommend it. Very much so. But I think this one even ranked ahead of Grandma's for me. Grandma's is a beautiful course, really neat. Definitely recommend it as a bucket list item for people if they're interested. But this marathon had more crowd support. It had a little bit better swag. I mean, the medal was amazing. They gave you this blanket at the end and a fleece lined rain jacket type thing. So that was really cool. I really enjoyed the heck out of this race for those aspects. So,
Well, and you're in the heart of DC, so you see all the sights, right? You're running up and down with the Smithsonian, and you've got the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, the Capitol. You've got all these sights. And then again, what a great cause, mission, if you will. You know, it's the Marine Corps Marathon. You've got 4,000 troops out there providing support and cheering you on. All the water stations they have, all the food stations that they're at. And then mile 12, right? Mile 12 is the blue mile where they had signage for all the fallen soldiers. So for an entire mile, you get names and images of fallen soldiers that you're paying tribute to as you're running, followed by their families holding American flags and cheering you on. I mean, it was, Tucker, right in the middle of it, right? You know, you're right.
I know. It was really like emotional. Like, I don't want to cry here because I'm running, and crying and running are hard to do together. So.
Nope. But it does. I mean, in a sense, it provides you that emotional boost that, you know, it goes beyond just this race and all that. It was very cool. Would do it again and will do it again. I suppose that was one of the questions that people would ask is, all right, you've done it. Now, when's the next one? Are you going to do a next one? I'm already looking out there at what the options are, but also spending a lot of time reflecting on the journey and what it took to actually get here, because I never did imagine that I would do this. This isn't something that when I started running a couple of years ago that I said, hey, this is what I'm running for. I was just running to run, and got a few other reasons, but I'm kind of taking some time to go back through and see what this journey was like, what I learned through it, what I learned through the race as well. There are a lot of different emotions that you go through and walls that you push through, and plenty of times where you question whether or not you're going to finish. I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, I went into it assuming that, hey, guess what? I had a lot of confidence in my training. I had a lot of confidence in my own ability mentally, emotionally, physically to do this. But that all got tested. And you can never really anticipate, I suppose, exactly how it's going to get tested, but it definitely got tested. So something you and I talked about afterwards, which I thought was really neat, you actually did a post on LinkedIn, kind of sharing your experience. We talked about it, but I want to ask you again, and I want you to share with folks, why did you do that? Like, why did you share? And also, what did you share? Like, people can go out there and check it out, but what was your message? So why did you share? What was your message?
Well, for the why did I share, you mentioned reflection. So I reflected on the race. And as I was reflecting back on the race, I was thinking about how some of the, lessons learned, if you will, not only apply to your personal life, but you can apply them in your professional life as well. So like you, I chose to do some reflection. And I did reflect, obviously, on a personal level too. You know, what are the things that I'd do differently? Well, I wouldn't get sick. Okay, well, I have no control over that. So, but those types of reflections, what might I tweak in my training? What might I have done differently nutrition wise? I look at all those aspects, whether it's fueling on my training runs or fueling before the race or fueling during the race. Are there things that I would have done differently with that? Hydration, shoes, clothing. Would I have applied more Body Glide for like my heart rate monitor really shaped my rib area, especially on the one side. So I'm like, clearly I missed a spot. Note to self. So I look at all those things, but a couple of the things that I looked at, and I will get to your question on why.
I'll get there.
For me, it was really, this was, as I think the title of my LinkedIn post was, it was a lesson in resilience, courage, and flexibility. So not every finish line, whether you look at it as a race or you look at that as a metaphor for a project or something that you're working on, looks the way we planned. And guess what? That's okay. It's okay that that happens, right? This marathon was not at all what I had planned. Far from it. And like you said earlier, I had even debated about deferring my entrance, although I did realize that I couldn't have deferred because I missed the deferment deadline, but not showing up at the start line. And I am so glad that I did show up at the start line. And I want people to know that it's okay to move forward anyway and do what you originally set out to do, even if the plan didn't go according to plan. For me, I had relocated, I had started a new job, I was adjusting to new routines, new environments, altitude from sea level, right? And of course, then I got COVID. So didn't get my training done according to my plan, nowhere near my plan, as a matter of fact. But what it taught me or highlighted for me was that success just isn't always linear. And we might plan for something, we might train for something, we might be executing a business plan, if you will, and something doesn't go right. But we learn to adapt and redefine what the success might look like along the way. So for me, it was courage. Courage is starting even when that outcome is not certain. Resilience. Keep moving ahead. Keep doing it. Flexibility. Adjust your goals. For me, it became just a run. It was no longer going to be a race. But keep your purpose intact. I still want to get across that finish line. I want to get one more marathon under my belt. I want to use this as a training run. There are plenty more marathons in my future. And that leadership is really building a team of people who run beside you. And that is applicable both personally and professionally. So you have a team of people that support you in your personal life. It might be your friends, it might be your family. You might have a therapist, you might have your dog, whatever it might be that helps support you in your personal life. On your professional life, you have the same thing. You have your coworkers. You might have a mentor. You might have a career coach, whatever it might be. In running, you might have a strength coach. You might have a nutrition coach. You might have an actual running coach that helps you with your form. But those are the things that it takes to be, I don't know, successful. If you want to call it that, I don't want to put it as success, meaning just because you didn't do something the way you thought, it's not a success. It still is a success.
To achieve, I mean, I think where you're getting is to really achieve, to really excel at the level that you want to perform, at the level that you want to perform professionally or personally. You look around you and you'll find that you're not alone. I really connected with that part of your journey and part of your lessons learned, because I think we do look out there and we see the Michael Jordans of the world, or we see a Tiger Woods and we think, oh, geez, these individuals, or a Courtney DeWalter. We see these individuals as just these amazing talents, and they got there and they got there all on their own. But if you look behind the scenes, there is an entourage of people and a team that they've built and surrounded themselves by that helped them get to where they're at. None of them would have been the success that they are or were without that team. It does take a team effort. And if you're out there and you're trying to get to that next level of leadership, you're trying to break into management, or you're already in management where you want to get to director, you want to get to senior director, you want to get to an executive level, look around yourself and take an assessment and say, you know, who is my team? What team am I going to assemble that's going to help me get to that next level? What do I need to work on? Maybe it is I need an executive coach. I need an executive coach to help me lay out a plan, just like I have a running coach that's going to lay out this training plan that's going to get me to this marathon, that's going to get me to this goal. What else do I need? Maybe it's education. Maybe I have to go get another certification or whatnot. But there's other folks. Maybe I need a mentor as well, like you said. So look around yourself, see what your goals are, but don't go it alone. Remember that it's always a team effort. So I liked a lot of your points. Don't get me wrong, but that one truly resonated with me.
I'm glad. I'm glad that it was meaningful to you, both personally and professionally. That was my goal with that. But hoping that people could see that for me, yes, marathon running is definitely a personal thing, right? As I always say, it's my way to stay sane. It's how I process a lot of things, whether it might be a tough day, or let's say I'm running into an issue at work and I want to think about how to solve it. Sometimes just going out for a run lets me kind of process through it and come up with some ideas. Sometimes a run is just a checkout time for me. Mentally check out and just listen to a podcast, listen to music, or maybe listen to nothing. And it's an opportunity for me to connect with nature, take in, maybe depending on how early it is, I may not get to take in some sun, but some fresh air, be able to connect with nature. I find it to be actually very grounding for me. But from that aspect, it also allows me, from a professional side, it gives me the energy to be able to power through projects. You know, I build my stamina. And I build it mentally, because I will tell you, going out for some of those long runs when you're tired, or when you maybe don't feel super well, or whatever it might be, is mentally tough.
Yes.
It can be very tough. You can have those days where it's just like, or things just don't happen to fall well together and you have an off day, right? You still go out there, you still push through it. And that's kind of part of the message that I wanted to deliver as well, is not only does that help me personally, it also helps me professionally. Like, I can power through some of these big projects, and sometimes when they get derailed and now they're going to be even longer, I have that stamina or that energy to kind of keep pushing and keep moving with them.
Keep driving forward. I mean, even if it's just a difficult day. We used to say, when I was training in the martial arts, that, you know, those days where you don't want to go to the dojo, enter the dojo, are the days that you actually learn the most, because you push yourself to get there and you push yourself beyond that wall and you walk away learning more and really feeling rewarded for the fact that, I don't know, maybe you hit mute on that voice in your head that was trying to give you the excuse to not get out of bed that morning. But at the end of the day, those are the days that having to push through that, having to really force yourself to tackle it, those are the days that you learn the most, for sure. But you also mentioned things just don't go according to plan, because nothing really does. A plan is just a plan. A plan is just a starting point, if you will. And it's your ability to adapt off of that plan and adjust. And I thought it was always interesting to think about the fact that every day we problem solve, right? Like, we wake up, the minute we get out of bed in the morning, we're problem solving in some way, shape, or form. And when you think about those projects, or you think about a run never goes exactly the way that you expected. in a marathon, especially, you're going to run into something unexpected, right? And it's going to be your ability to problem solve that's going to get you through it, that's going to make you successful. And so the idea that you ever wake up and never have any problems to solve, like if that's your definition of a good day, I don't think it exists. The reality is you will always be problem solving. And so you should just have that expectation as you approach things that, sure, I got a high level plan. Sure, I'm prepared physically, mentally, whatever, but I know things aren't going to go as planned. So I am ready to solve and attack those problems, however they come up, whenever they come up, wherever they come up, because that's my expectation going in, is that I'm going to have to do that.
Yes, 100%. I'm always problem solving. Or maybe it's opportunity gathering. I don't know. I'll take the positive spin on it. Opportunity gathering. Yeah. I mean, plans rarely go as intended, whether it's a project plan or it's even just what I had intended to get done for the day. So being flexible, that's huge. And I don't mean being able to touch my toes. I mean being able to be flexible to adapt and adjust. Those are critical, both in running and at work. Just staying focused and knowing and believing in yourself that you can adjust. You can be flexible.
Yeah, and not judging. And I think back to that whole reframing sometimes. I mean, if we go in picturing that the perfect race is one where there are no problems and everything goes according to plan, then we're setting ourselves up for failure. Whereas if we reframe that and set appropriate expectations, then we're not going to be disappointed and we won't judge that race incorrectly. We'll judge it more appropriately, right? Putting it in context, having the appropriate perspective, having the appropriate expectations so that you're not, I don't know, artificially disappointing yourself, you know, it's just like, you just,
true.
If you get this preconceived notion that this is what success looks like, it just doesn't fit reality, what reality will ever look like, then you really, truly are just setting yourself up for failure. And I think going through this training, going through this experience, you gain an appreciation for what you're going to go through and what to expect, and to not allow it to necessarily stand in your way, disappoint you, and get you derailed or distracted. Just like you could not have expected COVID to hit you. You didn't expect to be going through the major life changes that you were. But you dealt with it. You handled it as best as you could. You adjusted your expectations. You adjusted your high-level purpose for what you were going to get out of this race, right? It's no longer going to be a race. It's just, I'm going to run it to run it. I'm going to maintain my base. I'm going to get through it. And it's going to serve as a stepping stone for my next race. And so you just register it where it needs to register and you still use it. It's a learning opportunity and you get the benefit of it that you can and allow it to launch you forward rather than set you back.
Exactly. That is 100% true. I love your point about reframing how you look at things and not beating yourself up, because it's so easy to do. I mean, I know there were times that I was going down that path myself. Oh, I should have taken better care of myself, or maybe I should have worn a mask when I was being surrounded by people, especially since I was in the middle of a very high training program, which puts a lot of stress on your body. I should have taken more proactive measures. It's really easy to beat yourself up for things like that.
Or even guess.
Yeah, things at work. Something goes wrong. Well, I should have seen that coming. You can't always see those things coming, right? So reframing them, okay, what can I learn from this? What can I do differently? That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it as a challenge, not necessarily a setback, not necessarily judging it as right or wrong, but simply saying, look, yeah, this is going to be difficult, but it is just a challenge. It's going to allow me to improve in some way, shape, or form. I am going to learn something out of this experience. I may not like the experience. I did not choose the experience, although I did pay to do this marathon, and I did anyway.
I did sign up. I had to sign on a line somewhere, didn't I? Shoot.
You know, I didn't anticipate all this. I didn't ask for all of this, but, you know, this is what the universe is basically thrown my way, and I'm going to use it to my advantage to improve in some way, shape, or form. So,
yep.
That's awesome.
And I think one thing I want to highlight too is like the why, when you asked to this earlier, is also like, being open about our personal stories, our personal challenges, our personal opportunities, whatever you might want to call them, whether they're work or professional. When I say personal, meaning it's something that you've experienced. I think what I admire about what I might call authentic leaders, it shows that they're vulnerable. It shows that they have empathy. They usually have empathy because they're willing to put themselves on the line to share something that maybe didn't go as perfect for them, right? Sometimes you put these people on a pedestal and think nothing bad has ever happened to them. They've never dealt with these challenges. That's not true. We all have. And I think sharing these challenges can help others feel like they're less alone, and maybe even inspire someone else to try something. Doesn't have to be a marathon, to try something maybe that they haven't done, they've held back from, you know, go for it, try it. You never know what you're going to learn from it. You never know what that experience will be.
And it, like you said, it doesn't have to be a marathon. Information I could have used 26.2 miles ago. Thank you very much.
To see what you're made of. Just kidding.
All right.
I joke, well, but that's, you know, for me, that's what a lot of it is. I enjoy pushing myself. That's why I do these things. I like to push myself. And I push myself outside of the physical realm too. You know, what can I accomplish at work? What can I learn? That's just who I am by nature. But the marathon gives me that outlet and another way to push myself. And maybe I'll push myself into the ultra zone at some point. I haven't done it yet, but
I think ultras, I'm sorry. I mean, I still look at running and a lot of the people that do it as a little bit, there's an insanity side of this whole thing. And I do find it funny that you mentioned it earlier and I was going to call it out, but I'll call it out now. And that is what you just told me about yourself is in order to remain sane, you've got to do the insane. So that's okay.
I mean, I'll own it.
There you go. So hats off. Huge respect, huge kudos to you for what you accomplished this last weekend. Thanks again for taking me along for the ride and being there as I experienced my first 26.2 miles, and definitely we'll do it again. We're coming up on time, and I know that you had a Midwesternism picked out for this week. So what do you got for us?
Well, before we do that, I do want to say congratulations to you. Huge kudos to you as well for finding the courage to sign up and to follow the plan and do it. I know it's not easy, so I have admiration for anybody that does marathons or has done one. I know it's a commitment. So way to go, way to stick it out, way to get through it, even when those training runs maybe weren't so easy.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that I spoke highly of you through every training run that I ran, Coach. Thanks. But thank you very much.
That's what coaches are for. We're here to understand that you may call us names that aren't to be released publicly because they're derogatory.
That just
and they're said out of anger.
you know that you did it well and you know that you're doing it right. If that's the reaction that you get, I see.
Exactly. Right. Having taught enough group fitness classes in my days, I've been sworn at plenty of times. So
awesome.
I always figured then I was doing a really good job.
Fantastic. All right. Yeah.
All right. So off to the Midwesternism we go. So Halloween, it's coming. It's right around the corner. Fun fact related to Halloween. Did you know that the Halloween capital of the world is actually located in the Midwest?
I did not.
In fact, it's actually in Minnesota.
I would
believe it or not.
I would never have
guessed it. Okay, so it's actually in Anoka, Minnesota.
I haven't even heard of that, but that's right.
Yeah,
there's plenty of places in Minnesota I haven't heard of.
Well, there might be a few I haven't heard of too, but Anoka is actually a small town. I've actually been there, or what I might actually call a suburb that's located probably about 20 miles northwest of Minneapolis. So how it got its Halloween capital of the world title.
It's not self-designated. This is this is legit. Okay.
This is legit. Yep. It actually began on November 1st, 1919, because, yes, that's obviously the day after Halloween, That morning, Anoka residents woke up to a prank of what they call epic proportions. So at the hands of some of the local youth. As that sun rose, the community members were greeted by wagons, because this was back before a lot of cars, obviously. Wagons were parked precariously on rooftops. There were overturned outhouses. There were cows roaming freely throughout the town and even through the county jail.
Okay.
So to prevent a similar debacle from happening in the following year, the leaders of the town banded together to create a Halloween celebration that would prove not only entertaining for people of all ages, but might actually also curb any attempts for some pranks by the youth. So that festival has actually continued since 1920. And the celebration includes actually three parades, not just one. A nighttime light-up parade that showcases illuminated balloons. They also have like a grand day parade, which is a three-hour parade.
Wow.
That weaves through town. Now, Anoka's not that big, so that is really impressive.
Yeah. Weaves, circles, and weaves again.
Yeah, maybe figure eights. I don't know. Who knows? Other events include a pumpkin carving contest, because what Halloween wouldn't be complete without that? A bonfire. I hope there's s'mores. I'm in, if there are. A house decorating contest. Trick-or-treating, of course. A carnival. And, to top it all off, they have a pumpkin smashing event to compost all those carved pumpkins.
Ah, very nice.
Isn't it amazing?
Pumpkin smashing. That's more up my alley.
That's how you feel about Halloween, huh?
That would have been fun after the marathon just to take some frustration. No, I'm just, anyway.
If you could have lifted your hands above your head, bro.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, right. So. All right.
Very cool.
Well, for questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at the JDE Connection at questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, running. Just kidding. I mean laughing together. Toodles.
See ya. Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.